The Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone there is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' And he said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the previous chapter in Luke's Gospel is depicted Jesus sending out the 12 disciples, empowering them with authority over demons, the ability to heal the sick, all as they proclaim the good news of the nearness of God's kingdom. They are told to accept the hospitality where it is offered and to move on where it is not. The symbolism cannot be overlooked. 12 disciples being sent out to the 12 tribes of Israel. And now in chapter 10, the portion that I just read, Jesus sends out 70. At the time thought to be the number of Gentile nations. The mission is broadened, and the number of missionaries goes beyond the 12. At the very least, 70 is a lot of people sent to a lot of places, representing every place imaginable. This time, the 70 are sent out not by themselves, but sent out in pairs. No one is sent out alone. There is work for everyone to do, and best that we team up with someone else to do the work that Jesus sends us to do. We are all of us people who are sent. Jesus needs us. The church needs us. The world needs us to accept our role as those who are sent. And we would do well to partner up with others in order to do the work that Jesus has set before us. We would also do well to note that we are being sent someplace else to do his work. We are to be someplace, any place, other than where we already find ourselves, so that we have some traveling to do. And Jesus is rather specific in giving instructions to us for traveling. We are, he says, to travel especially light, No steamer trunks. No matched sets of luggage. No rooftop carriers. No trailers or campers. No SUVs crammed to the gills with stuff. Kind of like the way I travel. We are to travel really, really light. The book of Acts, which is a book that we're beginning to study with the women's Bible study on Wednesday morning, is really the best place to see how this is all being worked out, how the expansion of the church is progressing. The church is being depicted as being very much like the wilderness sojourn depicted in Exodus through Deuteronomy. People on the move cannot carry a lot of stuff to get anywhere. So in the Acts, we read that everyone sold all of their property and stuff, and they pooled their resources to find and or to fund the mission and to take care of one another. The book of Acts depicts how the early church, as those people who are blown upon by the wind of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus had said comes from we know not where and sends us we know not where. Throughout the book of Acts, the church is regularly invaded by God's Spirit of vitality. If we are to regard the testimony of the early church as a fair characterization of what being a church is like, it appears as if there were lots of people, more in fact than 70, that took these instructions to travel lightly and depend on the hospitality of others quite seriously. Altogether, our text suggests that we might want to consider what traveling light and regularly being blown upon by the wind of the Spirit really what they have to do with one another. The negative, of course, is that traveling with lots or even all of our stuff is going to end up with us never having any energy. The importance of all of this and what it has to do with is who we are. The corporate name of the Episcopal Church. How many people here know what the corporate name of our Episcopal Church is? Show of hands. Raise your hand if you know what it is. Nobody knows. Okay. The corporate name for the Episcopal Church as a national organization is the Domestic and Foreign Missionary Society. The Domestic and Foreign Missionary Society. You know, it's interesting that other church that I'm involved in, St. Francis by the Lake, up in Canyon Lake, on their bulletin, and they have St. Francis by the Lake, right underneath it, it says the Foreign and Domestic Missionary Society, a.k.a. the Episcopal Church. Well, that is, it's really all of us are domestic and or foreign missionaries. Jesus seemed to have had this in mind, in fact. He sent out 12 domestic missionaries. And then he sent out teams of 70 missionaries to be sent to foreigners beyond the bounds of Israel. And he gives them instruction to travel light and depend on others for hospitality. Now, bless you. Both of these ideas, however, fly in the face of American cultural norms. Norms such as, you know, to acquire, to accumulate, to consume as much as possible, and depend on no one but yourself. You know, this myth of complete self-sufficiency. Throughout the gospel, Jesus asserts that these cultural norms of ours lead only to endless anxiety. He was not alone in remarking on this. Isaiah had made this theme a theme of his some 600 years before. and others as far back as in Deuteronomy and Leviticus had made the same claims. Stuff and self-reliance lead only to anxiety and an early grave. Well, travel light and allow oneself to be blown by the winds of the Spirit and discover a life of interdependence. Experience the hospitality of others, even radically different others. Anyone who has lived in a foreign country, and I have lived in Japan and in Italy and Saudi Arabia, or anyone who has spent a few days or even an evening in a foreign household, know what an adventure in discovering new ways of doing things can really be like. And one need not even leave the country. There are enough foreign nationals in the United States who maintain households by the norms of other cultures for us to visit. If we are to live up to our church's corporate name, the Domestic and Foreign Missionary Society, and if we are to allow ourselves to be sent out the way Jesus intends us to be sent out, we just may need to reconsider our cultural norms. Because what Jesus says is really as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. As we pray for the Lord of the harvest to send us, we might do well to consider the farmers of this land. Although it certainly seems better this year, in recent years, many areas of our country have been stricken by drought, and the harvest at those times was anything but plentiful. And yet, if you had taken the time to drive through our nation's farmlands, you would have seen those farmers out there every day and every night tending to their fields and harvesting even the most meager yields from their land. Care for the land and perseverance are cornerstones of agricultural life. It is a life of discipline and steady labor. What do we need to do to become as disciplined in our labor for the Lord, as farmers are even at times of severe drought? One suspects that the answer lies in part with our Lord's instruction to us, his domestic and foreign missionaries. Travel light, depend on the hospitality of others, and let yourselves be blown by the wind of the Spirit. Our faithfulness to this sort of lifestyle, over and against what many of us still call the American dream, will, Jesus promises us, result in our having authority over demons, the ability to heal, and the capability of helping more and more people experience the nearness of the kingdom of God. In this sort of life, we will let go of anxiety and an early grave, choosing instead what Jesus often calls real life, true life in Him. Let us now pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, and pray that we might become those people who say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Amen.